I also was away for 5 days and then got home and the grass is like a foot tall.
Yeah.
And there's like 1,000 loads of laundry that need to be done.
It's good.
I haven't worked out in a week. I'm just like hating everything right now. We got to record a podcast.
Howdy, it's Wednesday, May 27th, 2026, and this is episode 280 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
I actually feel very good.
That we're out of the 270s?
That is great, that we're out of the 270s. It feels like we were just stuck in the 270s forever, like a journey across the desert.
Right. Was there a horse with no name?
You've lost me, but...
Oh, come on.
The song? I thought you didn't listen to music.
Come on, everyone knows what, is that like Kansas or something? Or
I don't know. It's my turn to say I don't know. I mean, I know the song, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy that we're past Memorial Day, even though we typically don't go a lot in peak season to Atlantic City. Knowing that everything's open.
It was crowded, certainly, when we went, which we'll get to.
Stuff was open on the boardwalk. It was nice out. It's just better.
I don't know about better. I mean, I kind of enjoy the... Like when it's desolate in February or whatever, November, but that might just be me.
I think I've had too many desolate trips in a row.
Mm.
I do like it, but certainly walking on the boardwalk is less enjoyable when just everything is closed. So nice to see the stuff open.
Yeah.
Nice to see the crowds.
That was good. So, but before we get to the trip report, do we have some Irish pub news, I guess?
We do. Actual Irish pub news instead of just radio silence from everyone. And I did wonder how come there was not more reporting on this. And the obvious answer would be it's just not as important as we think it is, you know, as Atlantic City connoisseurs, if you will. Because certainly it wasn't getting any larger regional coverage. Until now, NJ.com has come through in an article by someone who has a name. Stephanie Loader, we found
makes
it.
The podcast exactly as is.
Yes. So Stephanie Loader and NJ.com wrote a report with some actual details, including that there was an annual fire marshal inspection from November 2025 that identified fire escapes showing signs of deterioration and also listed violations involving fire extinguishers, the fire suppression or sprinkler system, and a second floor landing emergency light. I think it's that second floor landing emergency light that's really shot everything down.
That's right. You can't replace those. They're hard to get.
Just the bulb is out and the Irish pub is closed forever.
Supply chain shortages.
So certainly the rumors were about the sprinkler system and how that is probably expensive to fix. And that's what's causing things to be shut down.
It does sound like that was true.
So that seems to be correct. So always listen to rumors.
Yep.
Especially from dealers and bartenders.
And Due for a Win.
Yes, also.
Yeah.
Although we're getting those rumors from we're not actually getting them from dealers and bartenders. We're getting them from Reddit threads and Facebook from people who claim they know dealers and bartenders.
As we've all learned from playing telephone when we're 5 years old, there's nothing more accurate than information that passes through like 100 pairs of hands before it gets to you.
Via Facebook.
Via however.
By the time it hits Facebook, it's been honed and crafted into a perfect nugget of truth. So, yeah, it seems that rumor is true. The spokesperson for the State Department of Community Affairs, Lisa Ryan, says that there were penalties in the amount of $66,000 from the Division of Fire Safety, which doesn't seem like that much.
I mean, it's not nothing.
But she also said that under the fire code, business owners that receive a notice of violation from the Division of Fire Safety can work on addressing the violations while continuing to operate their business, which to me feels a little bit like they're throwing the Irish pub under the bus.
I don't think so. I mean, you know, it's like only if they're actually going to be working on addressing the violations,
I think that's true.
Is the real problem, right?
Yes.
Which by all accounts, it seems like they've done nothing except for clothes.
So that brings up a few questions. One of which obviously is why didn't they just stay open and work on it?
Mm-hmm.
If they intend to reopen, right?
Right. Which I think you've answered your own question, but go ahead.
I mean, I guess the other one is maybe replacing a sprinkler system is incredibly invasive and you can't actually do that there while staying open.
I mean, was it replace or was it install?
It might be install.
They might not have had one to begin with.
Yeah. So we will see what happens. Obviously, there is a lot of expense tied with fixing these things. I feel like much, much more than remediating the $66,000 of fines from the Division of Fire Safety. I feel like that's probably not that much cost compared to replacing / installing an entire sprinkler system. So
I agree.
Still no work being done, at least that we could see as of 10 days ago when we were in Atlantic City.
Certainly nothing sounds expensive, you know, replacing some fire escapes, fire extinguishers, the emergency light. Like that's certainly, you know, fine. The sprinkler system, I think, is the vast majority of the cost.
So we'll keep an eye on that.
We'll see if they start working on it. Maybe they can sell and someone else can work. Who knows? But it doesn't seem like much is happening now.
I mean, the rumors are, and as we've learned, you can always believe the rumors, that the Burke family does not want to sell and they would rather close it than sell.
Well,
which they have.
Hopefully they start working on it then.
So hopefully they start doing some work. It's good to finally have some real information about this rather than just speculation in Facebook posts saying that I'm currently at the Irish pub drinking a nice cold Guinness. But it's not really the news that anybody wanted, I would say. The other news that you messaged me last night.
Oh, yes.
Of equal importance, some would say.
It's about a place you can get alcohol.
That's true. A new happy hour at Angeloni's Club Madrid, which I think this is the second change to happy hour since you were last there, because it was different when I went last time.
Uh-huh.
So what did you think when you saw this new happy hour menu? What jumped out at you?
I mean, I was quite happy because I think the prices are quite good. I mean, especially it has $2 for a High Life Pony. I mean, what, you can't get better than that, right?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. $2 beer. Also $2 house wine if you get a pasta, a half price pasta. So
this is from AC Happy Hours user on Reddit.
The guy who makes the AC Happy Hours website, which is great, it must be said.
Very useful website. Highly recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Happy hour 4 to 6 p.m. every day, which I believe Angeloni's Club Madrid is closed on Tuesdays. So every day, once again, in Atlantic City parlance is, not actually every day. It's every day that the place is open.
Mm-hmm.
They're closed, yes, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Like you said, $2 High Life Ponies, some beer and wine deals, $7 mini cocktails. I think it removes the deals on the full cocktail list, which it used to have, but it adds a bunch of cheap snacks, you know, some shrimp, clams casino for $1 each. Minimum 3, I think, is a funny little note.
That's right.
Ricotta, which we noted, the incredibly salty
saltiness,
ricotta.
Yes. It was good. It was just salty.
You can get any style of ricotta for $5. $7.50 calamari, $5 meatball. So some snacks in there. And then 4-ounce pastas, half price.
Half price, half size pastas, pretty much.
Yeah, and the AC Happy Hours on Reddit said that he found the pastas to be very filling and you could make a full meal out of it. So he was advocating this as a very cheap way to make a meal.
I think it sounds great. Yeah, I'd love to go and have a... half-size pasta or two and, appetizer or something. And that sounds like a wonderful time to be had at the bar at the Angeloni's Club Madrid.
I agree. Some of the notes in the Reddit, the replies say, it looks cool in there, but the staff is rude as fuck, someone says. That hasn't been my experience.
Yeah, no, I've never had problems with the staff. I mean, you've been a lot more often than me, but...
Prices are too high and portions are too small for happy hour. This is supposed to be a local-friendly establishment, but it's a tourist trap.
I don't know. Like, looks kind of reasonably priced. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think these prices look great. I'm not really sure what the complaint is. I mean, anytime you've got $2 beer, you can add a $2 wine onto your pasta. Like, it just seems like ridiculous to look at these prices and say, no, that's too much.
It seems like a big upside for me. Like, how do you feel about this, given that, like, maybe the cocktails that you want aren't available now for on happy hour prices?
I would rather, if I want a cocktail, just pay a full price for it and get the better deal on the snacks. Because probably only going to have one or two cocktails, but I might order 6 of these snacks. Right. Like, yeah. Foreshadowing for how we did happy hour.
Right. I mean,
this trip.
Somebody had, like, 5 cocktails in happy hour, but we'll get to it.
That's a good point. But also, like, I'm limited by how much alcohol I can drink or should drink in a short amount
should,
of time.
Should, yeah.
Whereas I'm not limited on how many snacks I can try. So, as we did at the happy hour Eastwind, Mukashi, I can't remember, at Resorts, we just ordered everything on the menu. Mm-hmm. Maybe even twice.
That was great. That was an underrated happy hour, I think.
It is a good happy hour.
When we did that, yeah.
Yeah, the ability to just try a bunch of stuff for cheap is great. So I'm glad that there's better deals on the snacks and stuff. And, I mean, you could even argue the mini cocktails allow you to sample more cocktails, although the mini martini and the mini Cosmo, like, that's not really doing it for me. I don't know what a Montepulciano is.
Yeah, that's up your alley. I mean, you're the one that would know that, certainly. I'm not familiar.
It's a town in Italy.
Huh? There we go.
But I don't know what it means as a drink. Is it a wine?
I'd have a mini martini. There's a picture of it in the happy hour. So
it's a red wine.
Or on the Reddit post.
It says it is a red wine. So
yeah, all right.
There you go.
Oh, that makes sense because Pinot Grigio is a white wine, obviously.
So. White wine, red wine, mini martini, mini Cosmo, domestic beer, High Life Pony.
High Life Pony.
High Life is good.
And they're tiny, right? So you could have like 12, just like the Dream at Showboat.
They used to pour you High Life in a... a coupe glass, like a cocktail glass, and that was great. And I wonder if that's still what they would do with this $2 High Life. All right, so that is all the news, except, you know, data, profits, quarterly information. We can do all that another time.
I mean, they actually sell High Life Pony bottles, right, that are like little tiny things. So it might be like a real bottle.
Yeah, it probably is.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So we went to Atlantic City.
We did.
How do you feel about that?
I think it was a great decision. I'm not saying that great decisions were made in Atlantic City, but going was a great decision.
I agree that going was a good decision. Two nights, which it feels like it's been a little while since two nights. I always say that, and then I look back, and it was like two trips ago that we went two nights.
Well, you had two nights in Atlantic City. I, of course, had one night in Galloway.
Oh, yes.
One night in Atlantic City.
That is true. You only did one night in Atlantic City. So, we went on Saturday afternoon. We stopped at Pinelands Brewing Company on the way. Not really on the way for you. You actually had to go north of Atlantic City.
Yeah, not on the way, but it was. It let me take a new road into Atlantic City or whatever, see new parts of the state, which I'm sure Dave has complained to you about incessantly, because he was complaining to me, certainly, in the car.
Like, why are we driving through the Pine Barrens? Was that kind of a complaint?
Pretty much.
Mm. At 35 miles an hour as you drive?
Yeah. I'm not the fastest driver.
I did make a coffee stop in Toms River, New Jersey, just because I was going to beat you to the brewery by about an hour and a half. So I was like, let me get a coffee.
I don't want to place any blame, but let's say we ended up leaving quite a lot later than we were expecting to.
We need to get Dave on the podcast to hear his side of that story. So,
I mean, I think he blamed the U.S. Postal Service for that, but my feelings might be a little bit different.
He said he was ready to go at 8 in the morning. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So we went to Pinelands. What did you think of the Pinelands Brewing Company?
I liked it a lot. I thought the beer was very, very good. I'm glad that we did it. I don't know if I need to go back, given that it is quite a bit out of the way for me. But I thought it was a great brewery. I think if you're coming from the north, it's a great idea to end up stopping there and checking it out.
Yeah, it was not significantly out of the way for me at all. I also thought it was a really cool spot. I thought the beer was really good. New Jersey breweries don't have the best reputation. I think they were very hampered for a very long time by
the laws.
The laws saying they couldn't have food, they couldn't do so many events. And so I think we're very behind other states who have better breweries, like Massachusetts and Maryland and Delaware, even.
Everywhere, probably.
Pennsylvania has extremely good breweries. But there are a few good ones, and this, I think, is one of them. I mean, there's certainly other, some bigger ones, but it was cool to go to this kind of local spot. I liked the beer. I came home with a t-shirt and a 4-pack of beer, so I was happy with that.
Yeah. You sent me a picture the other night of you having one of your beer.
Yeah, and it held up. So, you know, sometimes you're drinking it at the brewery and you're like, this is great. And then you try it another time and you're like, eh. I was in a haze of, you know, pre-Atlantic City euphoria. But no, it's good beer. It's highly recommended.
It was really good. I mean, and as you know, that we've been trying to go like once a month down here, which you live in a different state, so you haven't been doing it, to breweries. And I think that the beer at Pinelands was better than any of the beer that we've had, at least in the last few months.
Better than Checker Spot, really?
Checker Spot was the first one. Checker Spot's very good. I'd say it's like on par with Checker Spot. Yeah.
High praise. So there's some other breweries sort of in the vicinity around, you know, Somers Point, Absecon area.
Some that are much closer to Atlantic City that actually are on the way in. Yeah, Pleasantville has one or two, or like, yeah, Pleasantville, Absecon have two, I think. So we'd love to check them out.
So my question, my would you rather, if you noticed at the start of the episode, we did not have a would you rather. Mm-hmm. My would you rather is, would you rather go to a different brewery on the way to Atlantic City next trip, or just use that time to go sit at the beer garden?
It probably depends on
weather.
I think on a two-night trip, it's perfect to go to see something new. Maybe if it was a one-night trip, like an 18-hour trip or something, like I want to use all my time for Atlantic City. But if it was the same kind of trip, yeah, 100% I'd like to check out a new brewery.
I think for me, it depends more on weather and the season. Like if it's in season, summer, or, you know, week before Memorial Day, week after Labor Day kind of area where it's still nice out, I'd probably rather do beer garden. But I think maybe part of that is because I didn't feel like I got a lot of wandering around Atlantic City time this trip. So maybe it's just related to that feeling about the trip rather than specifically the brewery, because I really enjoyed the brewery. But I think if we're talking about just next trip, I think I would probably prefer beer garden. Honestly, I feel like sort of just an alternating, like every other trip, you know, check out a different brewery kind of thing would be perfect. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say for a would you rather for next trip, I would say beer garden. But in general, I really like doing the brewery, and there's a bunch of others. I know Somers Point Brewery is supposed to be really good, and there's a few others around there too.
Yeah, there's like Hidden Sands right in Pleasantville, I think. There's Garden State Beer Company and Epsika, and there's a Tuckahoe Brewing Company.
Tuckahoe is closed. That is done.
Oh, is it done?
Yeah, they went out of business.
Oh, very sad.
There's one called The Seed in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Well, I haven't been there since like right after COVID, I feel like.
No, we were still wearing masks. I remember that.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's when we saw Eleanor, I think.
It is very highly rated, by the way, The Seed. Mm-hmm. People like The Seed a lot.
I thought it was good. I mean, I don't know if I thought it was like any better than like Pinelands. I should go back.
Yeah, I mean, it was very new when we went, and breweries tend to get better over time. Mm-hmm. Like, they do actually kind of get better at the craft or whatever. So I do think it's worth checking out breweries and not giving up on them, even if they're bad. There's a brewery up here in Wayne, I think, that I think when they started out was not particularly good. but they've sort of hit on a few beers that are actually really good. So, but I will say that buying their 4-packs is an adventure. Because sometimes you get one that's very good, and sometimes you get one you're like, oh, I don't want 16 ounces of this. Seven Tribesmen, I think, is the brewery. Anyways, I don't know why we're talking about that in our Atlantic City trip. We've derailed. So after the brewery, we went and checked in. You checked in beautiful Galloway, New Jersey. I went to Borgata, as you should.
I mean, certainly if you have whatever the Facebook game is, points are called, you should check into Borgata.
Truly unbelievable that I was able to get a comped room through MyVegas.
MyVegas, yes.
And go to Borgata on an incredibly busy weekend and check in on a Saturday.
I mean, it was insane in Borgata while we were there.
It was very crowded, and I couldn't believe it. Like, what a stroke of fortune to be able to get that room. And yeah, just a really nice room, obviously, at Borgata. How was your room and hotel at the Sea View?
Yeah, the Sea View was nice. I mean, it was nice. I actually don't know if it's still Category 4 or not, because I think they just published all the category changes. So I can check that while I'm talking. But no, it was a great place to use a certificate. I think it's a hotel that people would have a pretty wide range of opinions on, given that it's, I think, over 100 years old. So there's going to be some people that just look at it and like, you know, there's like so much work that needs to be done here. Like, I absolutely hate this. It's old and run down. There's other people that would look at it and be like, oh, there's like so much history here. And like, it's such cool place or whatever. So I think it depends on your outlook. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a nice place to stay. I would not hesitate to stay there again if, you know, situation was similar where I couldn't get a room that I desired and I had a certificate, which I always have Hyatt Category 1 to 4 certificates to use. I mean, it was quite close to Borgata as well. It's like 12 minutes or something.
So you say 12 minutes away. I think that probably answers the question I'm about to ask, which is, say that it was a one-night trip. We were only going Saturday. Would you have still been okay staying in Galloway, or would you have wanted to spring for something?
I wouldn't have spent $500 for a Borgata room. Like, I would rather stay in Galloway than that.
But you could have called the Golden Nugget.
Yeah, but I mean, at like some level, if I need to leave the property anyway that other people are staying at, truly, like, let's say it's a one-night trip, what's the difference between a 5-minute Uber to the Golden Nugget or a 12-minute Uber to Galloway or whatever?
Absolutely true.
I would much rather, I think, stay there than at the Golden Nugget, let's say.
So you met up with us at Borgata. We went to dinner at Angeline,
mm-hmm.
which has been open for a while. It does not get the best reviews.
Got the legendary steak, which we've talked about for, I don't know, 100 episodes or something.
Yeah, so we did get a while back listener feedback saying that the steak there is very good. So you got a steak. Mm-hmm. I got short rib bucatini. Our friend Dave got the scallops special off the menu. I think the steak was like $75. The scallops was in the 60s.
And yours was like 35?
Yeah,
35. Or something. Yeah.
I got a Manhattan that was very good. Mm-hmm. I thought the short rib bucatini was very good.
I think we all tried all three, and I actually think that yours was the best. Like, I think the steak was very good, too. It was, like, actually a fairly sizable steak, too, honestly.
Yeah.
But it was steak, and, like, I think by the end I was like, all right, this is a lot of steak. I also wasn't terribly hungry because we had eaten a lot. I ate quite a bit in the room because I, of course, had to go to Wawa on the way to my room.
Yeah, I mean, people are really down on Angeline, and I agree it's very expensive, but I thought it was very good. I mean, if you're willing to spend the money, I think it's definitely worth it.
I don't even think it's that expensive compared to, like, if we got the same thing in Vegas, it would be much more expensive than that, I think.
Yeah, probably true.
Here's the thing, like, was the service perfect? I think not at all for a restaurant of that quality. I think that it was hit or miss. Like, they went through all the motions and, like, replaced their silverware, or, like, whatever they should do at a restaurant of that caliber, but there was definitely times that it was like no one came to see us for a while and stuff. I thought it was a good restaurant, though. I wouldn't hesitate to go again if people wanted to go or whatever.
Yeah, they need a happy hour. I would say just look at the menu and look at the prices, and if something on the menu sounds good to you, it's probably going to be good if it sounds mm-hmm. sort of like worth it, right? But just know it's not going to be like Angelo's Fairmount Tavern prices. Like, that's just – or portions. So that's just not the kind of place it is.
And I'm going to get pasta next time I go, certainly.
I'll get steak.
Get the pasta.
So then we played some slots in video poker at Borgata.
Uh-huh.
Video poker went very badly for you, I believe.
Yeah, I think I was, next to you guys for, like, 10 minutes or something.
Very short amount of time.
Lost quite a lot of money in the 10 minutes.
And then you said, this went terrible, I'm going to play tiles. How did tiles go?
Yeah. Pretty bad, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, it was, like, 45 minutes after that I'm like, all right, I'm leaving. Because I had lost quite a bit of money already at that point. So, the final hand, by the way, I had, like, Wong high nine or something and lost.
I think you said high nine.
High 999, lost to Bobo. And I was like, that's okay.
Miserable.
Fine. Yeah.
How fast was the tile session for it to go that bad? Because I feel like it's rare that you just get cleaned out quickly in tiles.
No, it was fast. I mean, it was quick.
That's rough.
It was like $50 table or something. So I was playing 60. Yeah. So like it can go fast, but I think it was a $40 table, but I think I was still playing 60. But yeah, it went pretty quick. So
would you say standard deviations away from the expectation?
I don't think it's, like, that rare to lose, let's say, 5 bets or whatever in 45 minutes or whatever. That's, it's a bit unlucky, but I don't think it's crazy.
So I think you went back to the hotel reasonably quickly after that.
Yeah, I went back to the hotel. I probably got back to the hotel at, like, 10:30 or 11. So our dinner was at 7:30 or something. So
yeah. Dave and I just kind of bounced around playing slots and video poker at some various places. I was doing pretty well the first night, actually, at Borgata. I mean, pretty well in terms of not just getting cleaned out like you sometimes do at slots where everything that you sit down at, you lose. So finally got 2 seats next to each other at the B bar, got a couple drinks there. It was incredibly loud because there was a live band, and it just feels like B bar doesn't necessarily need that. Like, it's not like a amped up kind of place. It was also weird because it was a live band playing, like, classic rock, but not, like, hard classic rock, like, I don't know, Fleetwood Mac kind of stuff.
Which, as you found out a few trips ago, people still love.
Yeah. Horse with No Name, I believe, was played. No, I don't think so. But
it felt good to get out of the rain.
The loudness of the band didn't match the music they were playing, I would say. Like, the volume of the music didn't match what they were playing. And it would have made it a much better experience if it just wasn't dialed up so high, I think.
Yeah.
What they were playing made a lot of sense for what was at B-Bar. But it was just, like, blasting. But I ended up playing at B-Bar for a while, broke even on video poker, so it's always good to get a few drinks at the video poker bar and not have them cost $100 each. The one funny thing that happened, though, is, you know, end of the night, I'm about to cash out the ticket and be done. And the bartender, it's so loud that the bartender, as he takes my beer away.
A beer? Come on. You're at the B-Bar. You need to get some, like, super fancy cocktails.
Yeah, I started with a cocktail and then switched to beer after that, just trying to sort of salvage my next day. Except that what I'm about to say is he takes my beer and then gives me sort of a look or a nod, which I assume to me like, are you good? So I just gave like a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. And then you get another beer.
And then he brought out another beer. So my thumbs up was to say, yes, I would like another beer, which I, in retrospect, I would have realized probably if I wasn't at that point, however many drinks in I was. But yeah, I didn't need that beer and felt it in the morning, I would say.
Yeah.
And then it really just, it's always that one beer. You'd always feel completely fine if you didn't have that one last drink.
I've read that. Yeah, there's a lot of studies about that.
So that was pretty much my night. Went to bed, I don't know, 2 o'clock. It was late. So I must have been at B-Bar for a while. So the next day, you started texting pretty early about going to breakfast. Dave and I just could not get going.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to make it happen. We were like, okay, let's do it. And then as Dave and I are both getting ready, we were like, we don't actually want to do this, right? Like, we don't want to be like rushing out of the room. Let's just tell Kyle to go on his own, which we could have told you 40 minutes ahead
of
time.
You could have. Yeah. I mean, my complaint is that there was a lot of acting like you wanted to go to breakfast. And then an hour later, you were like, oh, yeah, we're not going to go.
Yeah, I mean, it was 40 minutes. But in our defense, we were absolutely trying to get ourselves going. And then I think we just realized, like, we are talking ourselves into this. Clearly, neither of us actually want to make this trip. So, yeah, and we would have been better off just telling you right away and being more decisive. But that's not my way.
No, it's not.
So, sorry about that. How was Cracked Egg Cafe in Galloway, New Jersey?
Really, really good. I liked it a lot. Thought it was fantastic.
Worth an 11-minute trip out of Atlantic City.
Certainly, if you're in Borgata, which, as we famously discussed, has no good breakfast options because bread and butter is terrible. Yeah, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, we ended up staying at Borgata until around 11, but didn't even bother to get breakfast.
I mean, frankly, I think it's probably about the same amount of time to get there as to get to Gilchrist in Gardner's Basin.
It's possible. What made you choose Cracked Egg over the Sunrise or with a Y Cafe or whatever it was called?
Because I drove past it first and I looked and the parking lot was kind of empty. So I was like, all right, I'll do it.
It's good decision making.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave and I spent a little bit more time at Borgata. One thing I regret about my Borgata trip is that I played no sixes or better.
Is that a regret or like a good thing?
No, it's a regret.
Sixes or better is like if you feel like you need to do some paperwork or whatever while you're in Atlantic City, like, yeah, I'll go play some sixes or better and not enjoy myself, but at least I won't have to think.
Yeah, played some slots, played some Ultimate X, because why not?
Yeah.
Lost a little bit of money. One thing I tried to do at Borgata before we left was I have $100 in comp dollars, so why not go buy some Borgata branded shit?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in the store, and I'm pretty sure the store used to be 2-to-1 comps, to the point that it even looked like the sign they had put a sticker over, like the redemption thing, to change it from 2-to-1 to 1-to-1. Somebody would probably tell me I'm completely wrong, but my recollection is that the store was 2-to-1. So I got excited when I saw this 1-to-1. I'm like, all right, let's get a sweatshirt or something. So I'm looking around and I see a hat. I'm like, this hat looks kind of nice. Flip it over, baseball cap. $100 baseball cap. Borgata baseball cap. So what they've done, I think, is just double the prices of everything. I don't know.
Why didn't you use your comps at Angeline?
I don't know. Because then I would be giving the comps to you and that's something I can't do.
I mean,
I only accept your comp dollars. They could never go the other direction.
We could talk about it, but you know, you still could put it in the Splitwise or whatever.
That's true. We'll get to Splitwise.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, partially because I was like, oh, I'm going to get myself a little treat or, you know, something nice from Borgata until we saw the price. So then Dave and I spent the next 10 minutes just wandering around the store being like, holy shit, Dave, look at the price of this jacket. Like $300 vest and stuff. Yeah.
Glad I wasn't there. That sounds like a perfect you and Dave activity.
One funny thing that they have at Borgata for some reason is the little Disney backpacks that you get at Disney World, which I like. Why do they have the little Disney themed, I forget what they're called, backpacks with like Mickey Mouse ears or just really themed out Disney World basically themed things, which is like very odd to see there. So there's a brief second where it's like, do I buy my daughter a Stitch themed little backpack? I did not. A Loungefly, that's what they're called. Loungefly. People collect those things. It's weird. I mean, I guess the shit I collect is just as weird. We checked out of Borgata and went to Hot Bagels and More on the way to Ocean. Grabbed it to go. You'll be happy to know that I did not
get passed in line by anyone.
Stand there wondering if I should be ordering or not and let 800 people order in front of me. There was, weirdly, because sometimes you only see some shit in Atlantic City, as we're going in, there's somebody sitting in their car with a bagel and just like setting pieces of bagel on top of their car so that seagulls just descend on the car. So they're like,
why would anyone do this?
60 or 70 seagulls on this person's car.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Right in front of the Hot Bagels and More. I don't know. I don't know why they would do
this.
Perhaps
he's training them just to be attack seagulls at the Hot Bagels and More.
Maybe. And then when we come out, there's like another person out there also not on their car, but like also feeding the seagulls. Like, what are you guys doing?
No, they're training them. Training them up.
Stop feeding the seagulls. Dave started making all sorts of seagull sounds.
I don't know what that means, but sure.
If you heard it, you'd know. So then we went up to the little outdoor patio area off the lobby level and ate our bagels, which were fantastic. Bagels and more. Highly recommended.
Away from the seagulls, importantly.
Away from the seagulls. It was very windy up on that patio, so we were trying to keep our bagel packaging from blowing away and my hot sauce packet from blowing all over my very white Leeds United jersey, which I was wearing on a day that they beat Brighton, who are the Seagulls, to bring it full circle.
That's right.
So then we couldn't check in, so we played a tiny bit at Ocean, and then we were like, let's go wander down the boardwalk. Except we got about 50 feet down the boardwalk before Dave got the text saying that the room was his room was ready. So then we walked a little bit further. I think we poked our head in Hard Rock, and then...
You went to resorts, apparently, as well.
Oh, yeah, and walked through the walkway between resorts and Hard Rock. And
Did you see the piggy bank bar at resorts?
I did.
Ridiculous.
I feel like the theme... Typically, they actually, you know, decorate a little bit. This seemed like it just had an inflatable pig in the front and not much else.
I mean, what else do you need?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So I think this was sort of not our best use of time. Like, we just sort of screwed up the timing on this because it was like...
I mean, it seems like you've accomplished basically nothing. So
right,
far
we've accomplished
today,
nothing.
It's like 2 p.m. or whatever.
It was like 2:45, and at this point, I was like, oh, I don't really want to be wearing this Leeds United jersey to happy hour at Nobu, so why don't we go back and actually check into the room, and I'll change real quick. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, if I had to do it over again, A, I would have just been wearing whatever it is that I wanted to wear for the day before I checked out of Borgata, because knowing that we were going to have that gap until check-in where maybe... It would be tough to get back to hotel room and change before happy hour. I made these mistakes in Vegas, too, last time we went to Vegas and learned nothing, apparently.
Unbelievable. Look, you just have to live with who you are, and you're a man who needs to wear multiple outfits every day, and that's fine.
Yeah, but it was just like there were a few things that I was thinking we'd do wandering around the boardwalk, you know, beer garden or going out to the outlets, and we did none of that stuff.
If you remember, I asked you like 100 times, like, what are you doing? I'm going to do whatever with you, but you didn't do anything.
I don't remember that.
The guy was certainly ready for drinking. No, no, no. I mean, you can check your texts, but...
Were you ready for drinking? Because I couldn't tell.
Yes.
We checked in at Ocean. The check-in line was at least 300 people long. And I know that everybody's going to say, it's not 300 people. You don't know what 300 people looks like. That's an exaggeration. It snaked all the way back to Sonny's, which is used to be Harper's, the breakfast place, toward the escalator. It was insane. But if you did mobile check-in, you could go to a specific mobile check-in line, and it was very short to go pick up your key. So that's what Dave had done. He was able to just go get his key. So my two suggestions are either do mobile check-in, or if you can't do mobile check-in, just be fine checking in at like 9 p.m. Yep. Like, go about your business. And then Table Games James, who was checking at Hard Rock, had a similar experience at Hard Rock where the check-in line was just insanely long.
Yep. When I checked in at resorts, by the way, zero people in line, and they let me check in like 2 hours early, so...
Correct. So what I'm wondering is if a bunch of people who were coming down for the race stayed an extra night, or if everybody just delayed their trip to – I don't know. It was packed, but it was a very nice day. It was a much nicer day, I think, than the previous
day. Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if everybody just last minute was like, let's go to Ocean and Hard Rock, because they were very crowded.
I assume that it's people who are already planning on going to Atlantic City. I don't know.
Yeah, Sunday night. Who knew?
Sunday night.
I think the big surprise for everybody was like, why is it so crowded on a Sunday? But it was very crowded. So that was the check-in experience. We then went down to Caesars. This whole time that we're walking down to Caesars, we're getting texts from you at various different drinking establishments.
Right, because whatever you guys were doing, it certainly wasn't doing anything fun or whatever. So
No fun was had.
Yeah.
But at one point, me, Dave, and Table James Games from the Handy of the Shandy podcast were all at Nobu. Waiting for a table, and we got a text from you like, oops, I've made a detour, and you were at Ton Tavern.
Yeah, that happened.
Which is funny, because at the time, I was worried, like, oh, are we even going to be able to get enough seats together at the bar?
Uh-huh.
But James went and talked to the hostess, and they were like, oh, once you guys have your party here, we can actually just put you in the lounge, and you'll get a little, like, round table at the lounge. It never would have been an issue. Tenoshi Hour, the best-kept secret.
Yeah, truly, no one was there, right? So...
More people showed up later, but it was never so crowded that we wouldn't have been able to fill out the bar.
And, like, I've never seen it crowded at the Nobu Happy Hour.
But having the table was perfect, you know, fit all of us on the table. We were able to just load up on every single snack that you could possibly imagine.
A lot of snacks were eaten.
Multiple times. The waitress was fantastic, very funny, very quick, like, both in wit and in service. She would come back and just be like, oh, I know you guys want another round of old fashions. She immediately pegged us as 40-year-old white men, mostly with beards, probably with podcasts, and that we would all want an old fashioned.
That's right.
I believe her line was, well, we don't have an IPA, so I know I know that you guys all want old fashions, which is correct because those are pretty much the two options. Many old fashions were had.
Yep.
We did try some of the other cocktails. The old fashioned is definitely the highlight.
They were worse. Yeah. No, they were worse.
Stick with the old fashioned. You got a couple of beers.
Yep.
And two old fashions.
Yep. And a martini.
And a lychee martini.
Yeah.
After multiple bar stops.
Yeah, after three beers. Right before. Yeah.
So in terms of just condensed drinking.
That was a mistake.
You were putting in work, I think, from about 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on Tenoshi Hour, your second experience?
I'm on record as saying that I think it's the best happy hour in Atlantic City. I think it's incredible, and I stand by everything that I've said. I mean, like, certainly I felt horrible afterwards, but that's not Tenoshi Hour's fault. That is my fault, so.
Certainly we have to go now to the new Angeloni's happy hour.
I mean, it's not going to compare, I think. I Tenoshi Hour is so good.
All the food is fantastic. I don't know if we got everything on the menu, but we got just about everything.
Pretty much.
All the rolls are excellent.
The rolls are fantastic. Whatever that chicken wrap thing was.
Oh, on the lettuce. That was
ridiculous.
Really good. I mean, just everything was really, really good. The Brussels sprouts were good. Brussels sprouts can be very hit or miss. I thought they were excellent. Just everything was great. Old fashions were great. So just a really good experience. Highly recommended. Except leave us room at the bar once we get the word out as the premier Atlantic City influencers. And we've ruined the secret.
I mean, I think the prices are like very reasonable too.
Yeah.
You know, $12 for an old fashioned. I think most of the rolls were like 10. A lot of the food was right around 10. It's hard to know exactly how much we spent, but it was five people and we ordered so much stuff. And it was what? What did we end up splitting after James used his celebration dinner
and comps? So yeah, a huge shout out to James for helping out a lot.
James put in like $200 and it was like $300 left after that.
Yes, I think it was like
five, right around $100 a person.
Yeah.
Which
but we ordered
like
a lot.
We ordered so much.
And also averaged at least three drinks a person. So add that.
I mean, and I had five, so.
Right, that's why I think it averaged three.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you can spend $60 on three drinks at a bar easily, so.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. You know, our last episode, the Would You Rather, was Tenoshi every time or the ability to try different happy hours. And I left that happy hour like, this is a much tougher decision now because Tenoshi Hour is so good and such a good deal.
I'm glad that it lived up to the way I was pitching it to you because I was definitely beating that drum pretty hard. And one never knows actually what other people will think about it, but I'm glad that you agree.
And it's a combination of happy hour and really getting not necessarily fine dining experience. Like you don't get the full service of that, but food wise, quality wise, you are getting fine dining.
Certainly the like happy hour menu is not the fanciest dishes that they're known for. Like there's certainly no like miso cod or whatever like on there. But I mean, I think the food is fantastic and I could just order four rolls or whatever at the happy hour prices and have a couple old fashions and just have a great old time.
You say it's not a full menu, and I agree. It doesn't have the fanciest stuff, but it's not a bar snack sort of menu in the way that Morton's, which is supposed to be a fine dining establishment, right?
Right.
I don't think it's like a comparable thing to go to Morton's Happy Hour and get like sliders, right? Or, you know, short rib tacos and stuff. That was clearly just a happy hour version, whereas this is, you're still getting really good food. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a great happy hour. Then one thing we definitely didn't need was Jerry Longo's. So we, you had some Bally's drink credit, and so we somehow ended up at Jerry Longo's.
Well, we paid a bunch of craps before that, so not a bunch, but a bunch of money on craps.
I played no craps.
Yeah, I don't know. What were you doing that whole time?
I was off playing stupid slots at Bally's.
Mm-hmm.
How did craps go?
Real bad.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was a great, great weekend for gambling. By the way, you didn't ask me what I was doing the whole of earlier in the day when you and Dave were doing nothing, apparently, and I lost just a ton of money at Bally's.
Oh, I just assumed you were eating breakfast and drinking just straight through, so I didn't know that you lost a ton of... What were you playing at Bally's?
They have tiles at Bally's now, so I was playing a bunch of tiles that I went very badly, which was a theme, which we'll get to later. I think I played a little bit of craps as well, so I think it was just tiles and craps and maybe a little bit of video poker.
All bad.
Yep, all bad. All bad. I don't think I had a winning session the whole weekend.
That's terrible when that happens.
Actually, I don't think I had a session where I didn't lose all of my money the whole weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, my goodness. Let's take a moment of silence for that.
Moment of silence for my bankroll.
So then we went to Jerry Longo's for a drink.
Yeah, because I had like $60 in dining credits.
Yeah,
so.
Each got a cocktail. I got some sort of spritz because I was like, you know what? What's the lowest ABV cocktail?
You're smart.
The lowest proof cocktail on this list. I think that was a great decision. We were apparently very loud. There was a woman like mid-filming eating her shishito peppers, and then we sidled up to the bar and ordered things, and this was very annoying for her, I think.
Well, tacos.
Because she was recording, and in mid-recording, she was like, oh, these guys just came up to the bar, and they're being super loud. We're not being that loud. I mean, we're drunk, but like, I don't think we're being any louder than normal. And then she stormed off and left her wallet and everything, and I ran after her to give her wallet, and she did not seem as appreciative of that gesture as she should have been.
No.
So if you're listening to this, lady, you're welcome, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
My next great decision was skipping King's Bob, which you guys, for some reason, on the way up the boardwalk toward Hard Rock and Ocean, detoured out to King's Bob. And I thought about it for like 2 seconds, and I was like, you know what?
King's Bob's so good.
This, does not seem like a good idea at all. But also, at this point, Paul had gone back to Ocean to get cleaned up and changed. And I was like, he's probably just hanging out there like, what is going on? Where are you guys? So I figured I would head back up to Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was actually a situation at all where he was wondering where we were. I think he was totally fine.
But you forgot the best part of Bally's, by the way, which is when we got drinks, they gave us entire cans of what we ordered, which was Miller Lite for me, I think, and Coors Light maybe for James and Dave.
Oh, at the
crafts table. Like, they brought whole cans out.
Oh, yeah, because I don't remember that at all. I wasn't there.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, because at one point I saw somebody walking around with a can of Coors Light, and I was like, oh, I guess they brought that from, you know, they brought the cooler and got that out, but no, apparently not.
Yeah, no,
that's
great.
That's how they're serving them at the Bally's. Do you love Bally's still?
Yeah, Bally's is good, man.
I did not like my time at Bally's. You will not be surprised to know.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all.
While you were at King's Pub, I met listener Tom L. at the Hard Rock Center Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Dave caught up with us. We were able to get 3 seats next to each other. I was just playing without my card in, so I didn't order a drink. I also did not need a drink at this point.
What were me and James doing? Well,
is that when you went to get your tier match?
No, I did that before.
I don't know. Whatever.
Everything.
No idea what you were doing. Probably losing money at the Hard Rock. Oh, probably. I think you tried to go play Paigo?
That was later, after we went to Ocean, I thought.
I don't know.
I have no real recollection of this point in the night.
How many drinks did you have at the King's Pub, do you know?
No, I have no idea. I don't remember anything about King's Pub. We got wings. That's all I remember. And I saw I'm the one that paid for it because it was on my credit card bill, which I was happy about because I'm like, I hope I didn't make everyone pay for everything.
Very nice to meet Tom L, by the way, and talk a little bit. Dave, though, orders a Coke or something, a soda, while playing at the bar without his card in the machine. And the bartender gives him the Coke and then like looks down and sees his card is in the machine and just gives him like a little lecture, I'll say. Not like, oh, we really aren't supposed to comp this without a card in the machine, but I'll do it this time. Uh-huh. It's like, it's a soda, dude. Like, surely. I mean, it would be one thing if he ordered Macallan 18.
Yeah.
So that was a weird experience. Although I guess it sort of goes along with that period where Hard Rock was not comping on weekends. And yeah, it seems like the rules for the bartenders at that bar may be a little bit strict. I still like playing at that bar. It's a really nice place to hang out, but didn't get a cocktail because I didn't need one. And I didn't want to put my card in my machine. You cannot let them know that you're alive. That's important.
Do not let them know you're alive. Yeah.
You, though, did play at Hard Rock.
Yeah, I played a lot at Hard Rock. So that was after we went back to Ocean, though. So
yeah, so we went to Ocean. For some reason, I was not full from all of our food at Nobu. So I got a cheesesteak from High Stakes in the district bars and restaurants. I don't know if the food court's even called that anymore. It was bad. It was not a good cheesesteak. Highly do not recommend. It tasted like nothing.
I remember seeing it when you opened it, and it didn't have a good look.
It was just tasteless.
Unlike my ice cream, which was fantastic.
Yeah, so you got an ice cream, spilled it all over yourself.
I mean, yeah.
But they would not make you an ice cream sandwich with the cookies there, which, if you know from the podcast, ice cream sandwich the size of your head was one of the great things that ice cream shop had.
Yeah.
Did not have it.
Right.
But later.
You got an ice cream sandwich, right? Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
So you and James headed back to Hard Rock.
Yep.
How did that go? Do you even remember what happened at Hard Rock?
No, I checked the next day until I went to the ATM, which was unfortunate.
But yeah, anytime you go to the ATM, it's already bad. But when you
don't remember.
Don't remember that you went to the ATM until the next morning. That's especially bad.
Yeah, I think we lost at Normal Pygo Poker, and then I think we lost at Tiles. But had a good time. I think you know, I enjoyed showing James, I assume, like a new game or whatever, because, you know, my memory is pretty fuzzy at this point. But yeah, I know we lost, certainly, at both.
I will say your experience in this trip sounds much more like most people's Vegas experience, where, you know, can't remember how many drinks you had, can't remember going to the ATM, just losing it, everything.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I'm putting $20 in a machine and then losing it and being like, ugh, $20.
Yeah, this is probably the drunkest I've been maybe ever on an AC trip.
Wow.
It was a lot. And much like you and the gelato at Caesars, the end location of that ice cream was in my toilet in the middle of the night. So yeah. When I vomited it all back up.
I think we got that before you explained.
No. You know, usually when that happens, it's like, well, at least I feel better the next day, and I did not feel better the next day, so
Yeah,
bad times.
Not great. So no. You were playing at Hard Rock. We were at Ocean. I was just kind of popping around from slots to slots and just losing at everything I put money into, pretty much. Paul and Dave were playing at the Ocean Sportsbook bar.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, Dave and Paul come over and they're like, yeah, we're done at the sportsbook bar. Some guy behind us couldn't even stand up, and his friends were trying to like put him around their shoulders to get him out of there. And then he just like puked everywhere right behind Dave.
Was it me?
Could have been you, but it was not.
Could have been.
And so that ended their time at the sportsbook bar. Mm-hmm. So then we went around, Paul played some craps and won a good amount of money at craps, which proves that it can be done. I know that your experience maybe says otherwise.
Right, it was different.
And then I think while Paul was playing craps, I ended up back at the sportsbook bar where it no longer smelled like puke, so I figured that was fine. Was watching some late night sports and getting a couple beers. It's a nice place to play, 8-5 jacks or better, which is pretty good for a video poker bar. The service was good at the video poker bar, except my big complaint is that I think 30% of the people sitting at the machines at the sports bar were women of the night, I'll say.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, as I sat down, there were a couple women next to me where I was like, they're probably going to start talking to me somewhere.
Right. Doesn't look like they're really playing a lot.
No, not playing a lot. The weird thing is, though, talking to the bartenders a lot, which sort of makes me wonder, like...
Yeah, that's because usually, like, most casinos are pretty good at noticing that and getting them out of there. So I wonder if they're, like, at some level, Ocean has to be condoning this, I would think.
Right. It really left me wondering if, like...
Are they paying a kickback to Ocean or whatever?
Or, like, does Ocean just see this as a service they're offering their customers? Like, I don't. Because this is, I think, the second time I've been at the Ocean Sportsbook Bar where it's, like, very clearly going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm playing for a little bit. And then I'm, like, looking at one of the TVs to the side and just briefly, like, a tenth of a second, catch the eye of one of them. And so that is her in. And she's like, how's it going tonight? And I'm just like, oh, God, fuck it. So I'm like, it's okay. And she's like, are you winning? No. What are you playing? Blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe you're just gambling on the wrong things. What could that even mean?
Yeah.
Gambling on the wrong things. So then I think she got the hint that I was not interested.
Gambling on getting an STD or not.
I know, right? Like, that's the only real direction that you can go with that. A friend of hers joins, and at some point she also is like, how's it going? Are you winning? This is like 20 minutes later. And I don't know if the other girl is like, yeah, no, dude, like, give up.
This guy, he's not it. Yeah, yeah.
This guy's asexual, so just stop trying.
Which is right.
Which is correct. But no, she gave up very quickly, which I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then, you know, totally fine. I like the sportsbook bar a lot, but knowing that you're about to have that interaction is like kind of a downer, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, good time.
Good time.
Ocean is very nice, though. I will say, I feel like we've been down on Ocean and playing there and playing at this casino. It's a fun place to play. They've got pretty good video poker at the bar. They've got a bunch of other video poker machines.
Notably, because I am idle next time we go, as long as it's after July 1st, yeah. I can experience it.
So I had fun. I thought it was a good time. The service on the casino floor, they're just dead pockets on the casino floor where it's hard to find a waitress. But as long as you're not in one of those zones, the service is usually pretty good and they're around a lot.
Yep.
I did go up on the way up to the room at 2 in the morning, made the brilliant decision to get an ice cream sandwich. I was going to go see what they had at the cappuccino, and I saw ice cream sandwiches, and I was like, oh, Kyle couldn't get an ice cream sandwich. Now's my time.
Mm-hmm.
And the ice cream sandwich was fantastic. Highly recommended.
Good.
Late night ice cream sandwich from cappuccino. Woke up the next day feeling generally okay.
Nice. Let me tell you, I was not feeling good, so.
Yeah, so you seemed very, very not feeling good the next day.
Yeah.
No breakfast for you.
I mean, I ended up having an oatmeal at like 11:30 at Heyday or whatever right before we left. And that was the maximum that I could put into my body at that time. No, but like half hour after we left, we stopped at Burger King and I had a Whopper Jr., which was about the largest thing I could, again, put in my body at the time. So
Pause. Yeah, Dave and I just got Starbucks from the ocean. I got a toasted coconut latte, thinking like
late in bed.
RIP toasted coconut donuts. The toasted coconut latte did not taste like toasted coconut. It tasted like crap. It was so bad. Just unbelievably sweet.
Yeah. No. Garbage.
But I did use 200 points on a latte that would have been $10. So
yeah, there value. You go. Gotta use those stars.
Played some Nickel Ultimate X, played some Baozhu Zhaofu, and I was doing so good at this the whole trip because I like Baozhu Zhaofu. But I got caught just being like, no, I just want to hit the bonus and putting 20s in. And it's like, stop it. Cut it out. So I don't know if I have to put myself on the self-exclusion list for Baozhu Zhaofu.
Where were you? I saw you at some point, and I was insulting you because you were playing Baozhu Zhaofu.
Bally's.
Was it at Bally's?
Yeah. I did well on Baozhu Zhaofu at Bally's.
Oh, really?
Oh, huh? Maybe not. No, I lost $100 at Baozhu Zhaofu that night. That was bad. and then went and lost 60 more right before heading out of town. So
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe, you know, that pigs game where the pigs inflate and the bonuses go up, the number of free spins go up. I had to ban myself from that game. Maybe I have to ban myself from Baozhu Zhaofu. Yeah. So then we ended up meeting at Heyday Coffee around 11:15.
Yep.
Got a coffee. I got a breakfast sandwich. You got an oatmeal.
There was some question of whether or not all of our cars were going to be towed or not.
That's true. It was totally fine.
It was fine.
The coffee, again, I just got a drip coffee at Heyday. It's really good. My breakfast sandwich was quite tasty. I think it was much better than what I would have gotten at, say, Bread and Butter at the Borgata.
My oatmeal was good. I mean, it was like $7.50 for an oatmeal or whatever, but, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot.
It was good. Yeah, it was a little expensive.
The drip coffee is cheaper than Dunkin' Donuts, so it's worth the trip. Oatmeal, that does sound kind of expensive for an oatmeal.
It was pretty pricey. I mean, I got, like, blueberries, which was an add-on, because I think Paul got it, and I was like, looks good.
Yeah, blueberries are $4.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we all left. So
yeah,
even before I left, I got a call like, Vivian's earring fell out. Are you home yet? Can you deliver an earring to the middle school?
What? She needs it?
Because she has recently pierced ears. So they're like, she can't not have an earring in her ear for 3 hours.
I think she probably could.
Yeah, probably would have been fine. So it was like rushing to deliver an earring to the middle school, then quickly going and grabbing my son and getting him ready for a baseball game that I had to scorekeep, which was also like a half an hour away.
I was also at a baseball game that night, so.
The drive home of the like stress of knowing that I immediately had to dive into kid shit was not the best. Yeah. But otherwise, great trip.
No, great trip. I mean, our drive home was quite long. There was quite a lot of traffic. So, which, unlike on the way up when there was basically zero traffic, I think.
So, first question, overall trip thoughts, even though we're deep into an episode already. What happened with your tier match carousel, and where are you at in the process?
I have Idol now at Hard Rock for this year, so that's good. I think, in theory, I get a free two-night stay any time I want in the next 2 months. So, that would be good, especially if they let me do it.
In the next 2 months?
On a Saturday. Yeah, it's like a pretty short time period you have to use it, but...
But yeah, I think we should try to make that work. I left actually thinking like there's a non-zero chance that we don't go until the fall because sometimes the summer's pretty hard.
Well,
but my daughter is going to sleepaway camp, so my wife would only have to deal with one child
for
a few weeks. So we should figure that out.
Do a two-night trip in the summer. I can stay at the Hard Rock with my Idol card.
So you got your Bally's card and your Hard Rock card.
Yep, I tried to match the Hard Rock card to Caesars, but they said no because I think I need to match it to Ocean and then Caesars will take the card. So because they will take a Prime card but not Idol because I think they know that Idol just matches to too much shit.
Yeah, like Hard Rock's too willing to match.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got to do Ocean when Ocean's year changes, which I think is July 1st.
Yeah, and then I can match to Diamond.
You'll stay at Hard Rock, go to Ocean to match.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see how long you can keep this going.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my next chance to match would be at Nugget, I think. But we played there not too long ago, and I think it's 18 months. So it's going to be close to if I can match with my Prime card or not. So
yeah,
by the time that's reaching the end. But if I can do Nugget, then yeah, I should be able to get back on. So we'll see.
Other trip thoughts? Two-night trip, how did it feel?
I mean, it absolutely should not have been a longer trip, given that how economically disastrous it was.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it was real bad. And disastrous for my liver, it was.
It felt oddly short to me.
Really?
And I think it's partly because of the hotel change.
It did not feel short to me at all. Yeah.
Historically, we get there and we just rush around to a ton of things right away, right? Like, okay, beer garden, outlets, lunch somewhere, King's Pub, like, we've done five things in the first 2 hours.
I mean, I still did that, sort of. I mean, I checked out a bunch of new places, and then famously I went to King's Pub and then Tun Tavern. And
right, blah, so blah, you blah. Did all that in our weird dead period that we ended up having because we mismanaged our time.
Yeah.
But normally we do that right when we get into town, and this time we went to a brewery instead and hung out at a brewery, which is fine. That was a good use of time.
Yeah, that was fun.
Sort of when I left the trip, I was like, oh, I didn't do any of the stuff that normally is like checked off the list in a flurry right at the start.
Hmm.
Like, I didn't get in much boardwalk wandering around, didn't do the outlets, didn't go to the beer garden, which, with the weather as nice as it was, that beer garden would have been high on my list. But I'm happy with the stuff we did. I did ask my brother what he thought, because I feel like we have had a question about why he hasn't gone. So I feel like his input is maybe useful for the listeners. He said, I don't know if it was just because this trip was so short, but my walkaway feeling is that AC has a good happy hour game. And so it'd be fun to come to AC to do happy hours with whoever all is in town. I was worried that a 24-hour trip would feel like it wasn't worth it at all. And it wasn't even a 24-hour trip for him, right? It was like a 20-hour trip. I think he got in at 4 and he left a little before noon. And certainly I wish I could have gotten there 2 hours earlier or just not need to get a shower before doing other stuff for the evening. But really, in some ways, having the trip just be focused on happy hour, grabbing a random bite, doing a little gambling, and sitting at the sportsbook bar and then getting coffee the next morning is a perfectly good way to spend an evening/morning.
Good. Glad he liked it. Did you know what he thought about the Tenoshi hour?
I think he liked it a lot.
Good.
He can listen to this and tell me I'm wrong if that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's saying also, you know, if you extend it out to 2 nights or if he gets there at 10 in the morning, is that all just time where you're bleeding money at craps or video poker slots or something like that? So I agree with him to an extent on that. I had a 2-night trip and I was basically even after night one and the second day and even the third morning. I was kind of just playing slots to play slots a little bit. And I feel like that's a trap I fall into. And that's also when you lose money that you're maybe not getting the enjoyment out of that the cost for the cost, I would say. You know, it's not like it was a terrible trip for me. It was pretty standard.
Yeah.
Actually, for a 2-night trip, it was probably less than normal.
I thought it was a good trip. I mean, it would have clearly been made better if I cashed out with money from even one table game that I played, but you know, you can't have everything.
For me, I lost money, but I also had a few sessions where it was like, oh, I won $60, I won $40, I won $20, I broke even.
Certainly this might have been my worst gambling trip of my life, and that's saying something. So
including like big long Vegas trips.
Yeah, including big long Vegas trips.
I mean, I think generally in a big long Vegas trip you also at least get a couple of wins, right? That help rally stuff,
right? Yeah.
You know, as a slot player, I've certainly had trips recently where it's just like losing session, break even, losing session, and there's not a single plus in my log the entire trip.
Like me. Yeah.
Right. But I didn't have that this trip. So even though the end result was sort of probably about the amount that I've been losing other than last trip where I won, it didn't feel as just constantly getting bludgeoned as some of the previous trips have, whereas that seems like it's totally what your trip was.
Yep.
And then the follow-up to this, I believe it was the next day, we tried to settle up on Splitwise, but people started settling up before I had a chance to look at it. And what I realized is, to me, the entire point of Splitwise is that it's simplifying who pays who. So that you're not just constantly, you know, oh, you paid for dinner, three people send the fourth person all the money for dinner, but then this person paid for drinks, now everybody send money back to this person for drinks. That's the whole point of Splitwise, except you have to click a button to tell it to actually do that. And I did not click the button when I set up the group, probably because I was several drinks deep. And then when people started paying, Splitwise was like, oh, no, you owe money back to this other person. And it was just a disaster. So then untangling all that.
You seemed like you were having a bad time.
It would have been fine if I could just do it without everybody messaging me every 5 seconds about, like, no, look at this. The end result was you tried to do the simplifying in your head, and your amount was dead on. It's just that there were transactions outside of the group. Other people had already paid. So I just needed to redistribute two of the payments out. And that was it. And Splitwise was very confusing with, it said the group was settled up and still said there were extra payments being owed elsewhere. And I was like, I don't understand how it can saying both of these things. But it was because there was external stuff to the group. So
you seemed upset.
Probably user error, but still kind of annoying that they don't just automatically do the simplified debts. Come on, Splitwise.
Yep.
Feature upgrade.
All right. When are we going to AC next, I think, is the last thing we have to talk about.
December?
Yeah, perfect. Love it.
I left thinking there's a non-zero chance that our next trip is in December.
I mean, there maybe is a non-zero chance your next trip is in December. Certainly I will be there before then, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, my thinking on that is just that because summer is usually more expensive, although I do think I'll be able to do.
I mean, weekdays, it's still free.
Right, that's true. And then in my head, I'm going to Vegas in September. I don't know if it will work out. I haven't talked to anyone about this, you know. anyone being work or family that would need to approve such a trip. Mm-hmm. But our friend Tommy has a conference, supposedly. There's just a lot up in the air. But in my head, it's 100% working out. But if there were to be a Vegas trip in September, it would also probably cut off a significant amount of the shoulder months, as you call them.
Yeah. I could see how it could make August or October tough for AC, but there's still always July.
I think that's probably the next trip is July.
All right. Love to hear it. Well, thank you very much for listening. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doForWin. Find all of our great content at doForWin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doForWin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions at doForWin@gmail.com, and we will read them on air. Any last thoughts?
I think I've had enough thoughts this episode.
Yeah. My last thought is, I'm sorry, James, that you had to deal with me being incredibly drunk on Sunday night. Hopefully I wasn't too much of a burden.
Yeah. Had a good time hanging out with James, though.
Yeah.
It felt like a big group by the time all was said.
Yeah, it was five of us. It was good.
Next trip, solo.
Yeah, solo trip. Notably, I might be, we'll see, going to Blackhawk next month. So we will see.
All right.
Yeah, that would be in like 2 weeks. So I guess I should decide soon or whatever.
But yeah.
You know how I operate.
I do. Not how I operate.
No.
Data, next episode. Get excited.
Yeah, April. Got to do it. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. We'll talk to you all in a few weeks. Well, let me tell you, there was a lot of complaining about you. We went to lunch not long ago, and they're like, oh, Craig says maybe we're going to go to Vegas in September, but no one is telling me like what we're doing. I just need to know what the dates are if we're going to go. And like, he's just not going to tell us. I'm like, I don't know, man. Take it up with Craig.